Hi guys, this is the Rose Quinn Podcast, episode 3. So exciting, and I've got a super exciting guest for you today, Sarah Seeley. She's an awesome author with a book coming out at the end of this month, Lusting for Luke, on November 27th. And she is super cool, and we chat a lot about writing, obviously, and her journey, why she decided to go self-published, how she does it, and just some awesome writing advice. And after I'm done chatting with her, I'll talk to you guys about NaNoWriMo, which started 2 days ago and goes through the whole month of November. And it's super exciting. I've won both days so far, but I got a little sidetracked today after I wrote my 1600 words. I'm writing a crime fiction novel, When Jay Bird Went Missing. It's this idea I've had for a long time that I'm like, gonna do. I'm gonna make it work, make it happen. But it's like about a serial killer in a small town. And there's 12 victims over a span of, you know, so many years. And I was getting a little confused myself about what was happening. So I found pictures of all the victims and wrote out, you know, like started my own little murder board, basically. I feel like Styles from Teen Wolf, like my murder board, trying to figure it all out. It's making me laugh. But I got a little sidetracked because after I did the victims and I was like, oh, but it'd be cool to have like pictures of my main characters. Even though I know what they look like, but just for fun. And so then I did that for my main characters, and then I did it for all my secondary characters. And then by that time I was like, okay, I've gone way too far into this deep dark hole and I need to slow it down. So yeah, that was my day. But afterwards I'll talk more about NaNoWriMo and why I did it last year and how I even found out about it. But like I've mentioned before, I wrote my novel To the Ends of This Dead World during NaNoWriMo last year. So it's safe to say I'll probably do NaNoWriMo as long as I possibly can. Okay, but now we're going to get to my interview. Not an interview. It was a chat between friends because through this podcast, I'm just making some killer author friends, and it's so exciting for me, you guys. But Sarah and I chat, and it starts off a little abruptly because I started recording when we were complaining about our dumb iPhones and the battery and how it sucks and how my speakerphone wasn't working. It was a struggle to get this to get my phone working, but that's why it starts off a little abruptly. But everyone go follow her so you can look at her beautiful face while we chat. Her Instagram handle is at Sarah Seeley, S-A-R-A-C-E-L-I. All right, ready? Here we go. One. Or I should count down from the other way. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Are you self-published or are you traditionally published?
I was at one point both, and then the press that I was with shut down. So I got my rights back on a couple of my works. So okay. Now I'm all self-published.
Okay.
Except I have done some anthology work, like for Chicken Soup of the Soul and some other things like that.
Oh, right, but, right.
Yeah, you know, those small presses, sometimes they just go under occasionally and
yeah.
But the nice thing about the digital age is that you can, you know, you can take your rights back and then it can still find a home somewhere.
That's so super nice. I mean, I'm glad you were able to get your rights back to still be able to publish it.
Yeah, that was an unexpected experience. We were operating under the opinion that this was all fine, and then the next thing we knew, they were shutting down.
So, oh my gosh, that would be, I feel like, just the worst like phone call to get.
It was actually an email.
Oh no, even
Friday
worse.
Afternoon,
no. And,
it happened at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so of course, as end of business happened. Waited to let us know, but I did feel, you know, encouraged by the fact that I'd had some self-publishing experience, so it wasn't too hard for me to get back up and running. But there were some other authors that did not, and they, I think some of them still have work that hasn't been, you know, hasn't found a home anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, I learned a lot from that experience, and so, you know, it's a interesting business with a lot of disruption that's happening.
Right. Yes. That's a good word to use. So you were self-published before something got published at that small press?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's awesome. So why did you decide to self-publish first?
I got serious about writing in 2012. Mm-hmm. I had, before that time, I had, of course, I wrote as a child, and I did, yes. You know, I was creative. Most people did.
Yes.
and I actually even wrote a book in college that will never, ever see the light of day.
Oh,
ever.
I have one of those, too. It's hiding under my bed, and no one will ever read it.
<It's> terrible. But anyway, so I had, you know, I always had this in my mind, and then I started to work as a journalist, and I still do work as a journalist.
That's awesome.
And got involved with, I did magazine writing over the years, and did, you know, I do TV news, and did TV news full time.
Oh, wow.
And was involved in, you know, various online publications and some of the new media startups. I still work with one right now called Cincinnati People. And so I kind of always had the writing thing happening.
Yeah.
And I got published with Chicken Soup for the Soul, and have now actually worked with them twice. And I always wanted to take the leap into the novel writing and make that a more serious part of my life. And finally, I just said in 2012, I've got to do this.
Just put your foot down.
And at that point, you know, the writing landscape and the publishing landscape had changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
Way that I thought was really beneficial for writers and for readers.
Yeah.
So, the first book I wrote was a young adult kind of, like a dystopian adventure story. You know, it's, I look back on it and I like it, and I think I did a good job with it, but I can tell that I've grown as a writer since then.
Yeah.
But, it just seemed like it would make sense to just put it on Amazon and see if anybody would even read it because why not, you know? And so I figured, what do I have to lose? So I did that. And, you know, some people started reading it and they really liked it. And
that's
they said,
awesome.
You can do this. And so then that sort of gave me the kind of, I guess, the, I don't know, maybe the confidence or just the feeling of, okay, I think I'm onto something.
Yeah.
And I just kept going from there. And so my next book comes out in the end of this month. So,
ooh, what's it called?
It is a romance. It's a contemporary romance. It's called Lusting for Luke.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that on your Instagram page.
Right, right. So that's just a contemporary romance, kind of a fun story. It's set in Palm Beach, Florida. So part of a series of books that I'm actually outlining and working on right now that'll all be about these billionaires that live on Palm Beach or associate themselves with Palm Beach in some way, which is totally plausible because 36 billionaires live on Beach, so
right,
or part of Palm Beach,
yeah,
to include one who's in the White House. So I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of connection to kind of the current, you know, it just made sense to put it there.
Yeah,
you're gonna do billionaire romances, why not put them there?
Right, so put them in a place that they're actually going, like you would find them in real life.
Right, right. So you know, and I think romance in particular has been really open to new ways to publish and new avenues to find readers, because romance readers, some of these people, I'll meet them at book events and they tell me they read a book a day.
That's insane.
They are voracious readers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they want those different romances and those Regency stories and what have you. And I think that's actually pushed a lot of the publishing business, because romance is such a huge slice of that,
yeah,
that whole pie. So there you go.
That's awesome. That is so cool. So your process, like getting self-published, did you, you know, use an editor? Did you just self-edit your books?
Oh no. Oh God, no. I could never self-edit. I mean, I do edit my stuff. I revise.
Yeah.
But, no, I have professional editors that I work with, and a professional cover designer and all that. I would never, you can, I mean, certainly there are folks who choose to do a lot of that stuff themselves, but I do not do that. I mean, I think having, I have actually two editors that I work with. One is more of a developmental editor, and then one is a, more of a line by line copy edits, you know, let's really dig into how we're phrasing all of this, kind of a,
yeah,
kind of a, so it's, you have to have, I think to be successful, you have to put out as much of a polished product as you can. So that, and I try to do that.
Definitely.
So.
I think it shows though. I mean, I was just, you know, scrolling over your Amazon page and all your books, and they have like really amazing reviews, which I feel like, you know, and I'm a person who kind of falls in that, like, I've been a little skeptical at times about, you know, self-publishing books, and because there are some out there where people literally just like finish their book and then put it up on Amazon without any thought to editing or anything like that. But I think it shows in your work that you do edit and, you know, are trying to put up a good product, because you have really consistent, awesome reviews.
Well, I do appreciate that. But I also have noticed, I mean, there are a lot of very serious authors out there that, you know, that do put a lot of time and effort. I mean, there's a whole contingent of people that take this as seriously as they would any business, mm-hmm. you know. That's the best way to succeed, you know. And
yeah.
And then, like I said, I had a couple of books with a small press, and then those were already edited when I got back, when I got the rights back. It was just a simple conversion process, so yeah. I was able to pretty much just shoot it back out and have not really miss any beat, you know, with that, which was good.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely an easy thing.
right.
So, one question for you. What's your favorite part about being an author?
For me, it's having the reader read my work. You know, you spend so much time with these characters and storylines in your head, and
yeah.
you just wish that someone would also read it besides you, that world that you're building. And so, you know, when I just even have one reader say, you know, I read your work and I enjoyed the story, even if it wasn't their favorite story they ever read, just the fact that they participated in that is probably the most satisfying part.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I think for me, you know, I'm not a published author yet. I'm working on it. I'll get there someday. But I think that's definitely, even when I have people like beta read my things, for me, it's like an anxiety thing, but it's also when they come back to me and they say, you know, this was great, like I loved it, loved this part of the world and the story. It's like the most gratifying feedback to get back.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's also really interesting for me too, because when I'm writing a book, there are some parts of the story that really stand out to me. You know, I'm really feeling vividly about this part of the character's, you know, momentum, or this part of the storyline, or
yeah.
this section I really wanted them to read, you know. But sometimes readers will come back to me and say, you know, this meant a lot to me, and it's something that I thought I overlooked, or something that I didn't think was important, and it stood out to them. And I think that's kind of cool, too, to see
that is.
What they sort of take away from it.
Yeah, that is really cool, because it's not always the same thing depending on what's happening in their life or their mind. Something else will jump out at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's super cool. And then you mentioned how you're outlining that, you know, set of books with the billionaires in Palm Beach. So are you a planner? Like, you outline everything, or do you outline it really like down to like the scene and what's happening?
Well, in this next one, I've tried to do that. And I think that's actually going to speed the process up a little bit. Although I usually do use some kind of an outline. I usually have some idea of a basic background and kind of what kind of story I'm trying to tell, and where I want to go, what are the main points. But this time around, I did, for the second book, I decided to really sit down one day and over like about a 6-hour period, instead of writing it, I just took that day and just, you know, kind of outline, okay, this plot point, then got to get to this one. And it's very specific, you know, so I know exactly what that story is
yeah.
before I even write it. But I think that's going to actually make it faster, because I wanted to just experiment with that this time around and see if that wouldn't improve just the turnaround time of a first draft. So.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting. I used to be that way. I used to like plan everything. Like, I would have, you know, my idea and maybe have written like, you know, some pages of it, but I would get down super specific outlining everything. And then when I did NaNoWriMo last year, I didn't have any outline at all. Like, I had a general story idea of like, you know, my characters and what I wanted to happen, but I didn't plan anything at all. And it was just such a different experience for me that now I'm like, that I like sometimes find myself trying to outline too hardcore, and I'm like, no, stop, like just write and let what happens need to happen, you know, like, because I feel like sometimes when I plan, I can put myself in like a box, like, like stop myself from letting the story evolve in a way that it should because I had already written something down and I need to make it that way.
It has to go this way. Yeah. I think there's a happy medium kind of between the two, you know, but it's something that sort of evolved over time for me. You know, I think the first couple of books I was trying to write, I didn't even know really how to plot that out.
Yeah.
I knew I had to get to a climax of something, but yes. I didn't know exactly how to get there. So that, yeah.
That was my experience,
that was
too. Experience.
That was more painful, I think, than it is now, because now I'm, you know, the wheels have kind of been greased a little bit. I kind of know how to get to the plot points.
Yeah. Well, you've got good, you know, experience from actually doing it, because how many books do you have published right now? 9?
The one that comes out in November will make it 9. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel awesome all the time, but thank you.
What's the hardest part about, you know, being self-published and being an author for you?
I think the hardest part sometimes is the loneliness of it. You know, I felt that way no matter when I was working with a small press or doing stuff on my own.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of can sometimes feel like, okay, I have to do this today, and I'm the only one that even knows what I'm doing, and no one's really holding me accountable because the deadlines are far off. And I think I struggle sometimes with that because, you know, TV news and stuff is a more collaborative kind of profession because you have a photographer working with and these producers and things like that, which can be good and bad too. But I mean, there's somebody there with you throughout your day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I struggle with the accountability on the days when I am sitting there writing it. You know, I have to hold myself accountable. This is a business. I'm an entrepreneur in a way.
Yeah.
That I have to see as a job. And it's kind of, that can be a struggle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I find myself, like, having a hard time with accountability also. I just try and set a daily goal for myself to write, you know, at least once a day. But there are days when I'm like, it's like day 4 and I'm like, oh, I haven't written since Tuesday. Like, this is real bad. I need to get back on it.
So I got a lot when I first was starting from Stephen King, and he, you know, he wrote On Writing, and that's a great book for anyone to read. But one of the things that stood out to me was that he kind of said, you know, if you're a writer, you write. You have to write. What are you doing? If you're not writing, then you're not really a writer.
Yeah.
And he has a goal of about 1,500 to 1,600 words a day that he kind of cranks out, and that's sort of how he keeps the pace. And some days, the book kind of was explaining that some days are better than that, but some days are, you know, just right at that.
Yeah.
And that actually really helps me a lot to kind of follow that model, because I think, okay, if I can get to 1,600 words, then I've done, you know, what, 5 pages, 6 pages, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And if it's really flowing and really feeling good, then I'll keep up and I'll continue and maybe go into 3,000 words or something like that. But if it's not, I still can say, well, today I did do what I said I was going to do. I did write.
Which is what I should, because I'm a writer. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's also helped me to keep work churning out, you know, is that, he's prolific. I mean, he's dozens and dozens and dozens of books.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, not to mention that, he also has the novellas and short stories and things like that that he's done. So, you know, but I think that advice really, that was kind of something that I read early on when I was just getting serious with it. And that's helped me a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Because I think you, when you don't write for a long time, it's hard to get back into that groove. But also, I think it's hard to sometimes get back into that mindset of being a writer and writing for your characters and the world that you're in. You know, when I was writing my novel that no one will ever read, ever, you know, like, I remember, like, taking, like, you know, like, starting it and then, like, taking 3 months not writing and going back to it. And it was really hard to be like, okay, where was I? What's going on? Like, but if you continue to write, even if it's not that same thing, you're keeping those tools sharp and your mind active, which I think is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he said in the book at one point too, was, you know, yeah, there are writers who write one book and then 5 years later they have another book that comes out, and maybe 10 years later another book, but what are they doing in between then?
Yeah. I mean,
are you a writer or are you something else? This is a hobby, you know. So yeah, that was the biggest takeaway that I got from that book.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I have a day job, but I bring my laptop to work every single day and I make myself write on my lunch, and I can typically get to my 1,015 words on my lunch, which is nice. And then when I, you know, am off of work, I can work on all my other things that I do, but try and, you know, make sure that I get at least something written every day. But I was looking on your website also, and you have a travel blog. That's so exciting.
Yeah, I haven't updated that in a while. We just like to travel a lot, my husband and I do. We don't have any children yet, so we have some, you know, free time.
Yes.
And so we do travel a decent amount. And I sometimes write, you know, about the places we go. And I should update that. And I have not. I'm embarrassed that you brought it up.
No, but, don't be embarrassed. It's awesome. Because you still have a lot. You have stuff on here.
Yeah, I updated it since, I think, the summertime. But we've been to a couple of cool places. But we just like to kind of go out and explore, you know, the area and explore what we can, and we're always like looking for travel deals and steals and things like that.
Heck yeah.
Places to go, so
what's your favorite place that you've been to, if you could pick one?
Well, I think the place we go the most frequently is we do go to Palm Beach quite a bit. That's part of why it was easy for me to write that story.
Oh yeah.
There. And I do like that, but I would say my absolute favorite was when I was in Italy, but that was many years ago. But I just liked Italy so much that, you know, that was an absolute favorite.
That's awesome.
But we try to, you know, just even on weekends around here, you know, we live in Cincinnati, so it's not that far to get to, you know, Chicago or,
yeah,
you know, Columbus or Cleveland or, you know, Pennsylvania or wherever. It's pretty close to a lot of stuff. So we'll sometimes just take like a weekend and go somewhere. Which is kind of fun.
That's super fun. That's great. I love to travel. I think it's so fun to just, even I just moved to a new city and it's like, I just feel like there's so many things I get to explore and new things I get to do, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm lucky that my husband is pretty open-minded about that kind
yes.
of stuff. And he's out there, and his job has taken him around the world. So he's somebody that doesn't mind, you know, driving an hour here or going there and just seeing what stuff. So.
That's great. It's is that like what you enjoy doing the most, like when you're not writing, or like do you you know, what's your hobby that like helps you to kind of like relax?
I would say that I do a lot of reading. Of course, I still
yes.
read.
You have to read to be a writer, I feel like.
Yeah. The other thing that Stephen King's book talks a lot about is, yeah. you know, if you're a reader, and you better read. You better read bad stuff. You better read good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so I read a lot. I would say, I mean, I'm a runner. I run a decent amount of long distances. I'm actually training for a 10K right now.
Ooh, exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I try to volunteer in the community. So I'm on a couple of charitable boards in the city and try to do some work with that. You know, and then we just, like I said, we travel and we, you know, hang out with friends and whatever we can do. So
that's so awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So your book, Lusting for Luke, comes out November 27th, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. And you explained it a little bit earlier, but do you want to give like the elevator pitch, like the blurb for it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can give you kind of a basic idea of what the story is.
Yeah.
It's about the son of a billionaire financier who, and real estate guy, who ends up falling for a yoga instructor. And so there's kind of a cross-cultural thing going on, you know, as far as the money background and the whether or not, you know, rich, poor guy, rich guy, poor girl kind of thing. And then it's just about how people are unexpected, you know, and they're not always what you think they're going to be. And I think Luke is unexpected for Natalie, and Natalie is that way for Luke, and what their preconceived notions of what their relationship would be is not necessarily what it winds up being. So
that sounds awesome. Yeah.
it's a fun story. I had a fun time writing it. It's not a serious romance. You know, it doesn't. It's not going to make you cry or anything like that. You know, it's not one of those that's super angsty, but it does have, you know, a fun element, and it's got some comedy in it, some romantic comedy type stuff, and.
You got to have some romantic comedy to make you laugh a little bit. I feel like that's fun.
It's escapism. I mean, that's what it is escapism. It's not meant to be anything, you know, so serious that you're going to just, you know, cry your eyes out every day after you read it.
Well, awesome. November 27th. Let's see. Okay, those are all the questions I had for you, but... Literally, I think it's so exciting. I'm trying to learn more about, you know, the self-publishing way of going around things. I have someone in my family who did it, and, you know, it was interesting. So I just think it's, you know, awesome to see people who do it who are so successful and who are really doing it well. So that's why I wanted to chat with you, because I think you're doing such an awesome job.
Well, thanks. It's, you know, and there was, I think, a stigma attached to that.
Yeah.
Initially, way back, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But because of the disruption in the market and the change of people's styles and habits, it's really come into its own as a legitimate way of doing things. I mean, some of the most famous authors that are out there were self-published at one point. I mean... Colleen Hoover is a great example.
Oh, really? I didn't know that about her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Her story is really great, actually. She was, you know, she wrote this book, Slammed, and it, you know, and then ended up publishing it, self-publishing it, because she couldn't get anyone to listen to her. And it was a sensation.
Wow.
It just ran off the tracks. And then she self-published a few others, and then now she kind of does a combination of self-published and regular trade books. But she's one of the huge success stories of that. There's also Mia Sheridan. She was self-published initially, and still is at some points. Jamie McGuire, who wrote Beautiful Disaster.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, who else? H.M. Ward, she has sold over 12 million books.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy.
Jeez.
Hugh Howie, he's really famous. Hugh Howie, he wrote Wool, the Wool dystopian series, and he was self-published, and now all his stuff is with, I think, St. Martin. So there's a whole lot of authors, Abby Glimes, some of whom have had, you know, tremendous success, and then there's a lot that have had moderate success, or that have found... that their indie books do as well as their trade books do.
Yeah.
But then they wind up kind of being a hybrid thing. And I think hybrid's probably the best way to go. I think you should always entertain whether or not a fit is good for you. I mean, there may be a trade deal that works out better for you in the long run than an indie deal. Or you may say, you know, I'd rather take this independent and see if I can't sell it. So,
yeah.
I think you should kind of always keep the doors open.
Right. Don't, like, just shut one out because you feel like you have to go traditional, which is, I feel like, sort of how I've always felt. But I think that's so cool. I didn't know that all those people were, you know, self-published at one point and have done so well. That's super cool.
Yeah. And even, you know, even like James Patterson, I mean, a lot of his stuff, he's started a whole imprint that's just kind of his own thing. And it's him and some co-authors. And it's those... he sells them in they're like novellas, they're little short novellas. That's kind of done just by him.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's all a matter of just kind of the fact that so many people can now find books that they never would have found before, and the gatekeepers are down, which is, I think, the best thing for a reader.
Yeah, it's awesome because they can just get anything.
Right. The marketplace isn't being decided by someone who is sitting in an office in New York and thinks they know what readers want, even though they do often know, they don't always necessarily know.
Right.
And so because gatekeepers are down and you can reach the gap, the readers that want to find certain books can find those. And I think that's great.
That's so awesome. I feel inspired. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to do my research because I've got a novel that I've...
Like a job, though. You have to treat it like a profession.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I'm just going to throw something out there.
No.
You know, you won't sell books, and then it's not any benefit to you and not any benefit to the reader.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. That is awesome, though. I think it's just something that, you know, I think a lot of people hold off on writing, you know, because they think that they'll never get published, you know, through a traditional way. So they're like, oh, why write anyway? But, it, you know, when you have the tools and the ability, even though, you know, like you said, it's a business, you know, you've got to run it that way. You know, when you can and have the skills to be able to do that,
got to do it.
Okay, how awesome is Sarah? Isn't she the greatest, you guys? So make sure to go buy her books that are already out because she has some awesome ones. And then watch for her new book, Lusting for Luke, that comes out on November 27th. And follow her on Instagram. Her handle is Sarah Seely, S-A-R-A-C-E-L-I. All right. Now to the NaNoWriMo portion. So right now, when I'm recording this, we're a little over a week into NaNoWriMo, and I'm a little bit behind, I'm not gonna lie, but I'm doing NaNoWriMo not like traditionally. I didn't start a brand new novel November 1st. I've just continued working on my work in progress that I've had for a little bit. So I've been working on that, but you know, I just so enjoy the community of people. Like, I go on my Twitter feed and I see a bunch of people tweeting about the struggles that come with NaNoWriMo and forcing yourself to get those pages out or being behind. You know, I think it just creates a great community, and I'm so glad that I found out about it last year. But I think what's so exciting is just that I've learned to just write and not, you know, I really am. I know it's something that other people struggle with, but I am really good at not editing as I write. I just keep writing, and there are times when I get stuck and I've got to go back and read through just to kind of get a feeling for where my novel is, but I try not to anyway. There was a few things that I thought of as I was kind of in a stuck place, not sure where I wanted my novel to go next, but you know, went back through and I added a couple little details in the beginning, you know, just a few scenes to kind of help strengthen some of it. And that was super helpful. I've also, you know, really am loving my murder wall, trying to figure it out. I've got some good, you know, it's interesting because I don't really know who I have. I know who, I've picked who I want the murderer to be, but now I have to kind of weave that story and make it believable and make it so it makes sense that, you know, like the serial killer in my novel has been, you know, hasn't been caught for over 10 years. So it's like, got to make it believable so that people aren't just like, oh no, that's dumb. Like, he would clearly have been caught before. So, but it's super exciting and it's just a really fun month, even though it's kind of a busy month. And I went home and visited for a while and, you know, meant to write every day, but of course didn't. So I'm a little bit behind, but I'm all right with it. It's all going to work out just fine. I wrote double what I was supposed to yesterday to try and make up for it. So I'm trying to get there. Oh my gosh. The other day I was going through, I have a really high-tech computer like for editing photography, but it's like almost 6 years old. So it doesn't really work very well. So I try and keep everything in the cloud, but I was going through my Google Drive the other day and I found all of these old stories that I've written, and it was so amazing. When I was in high school, I was really into screenplays. I still think, you know, like, I'd love to have a book turned into a movie someday. Isn't that everybody's dream? But anyway, I found these awesome old screenplays that I wrote, and they're not great. Let's be real. They're not amazing, but they're not terrible. Like, the spine of the story and what I was trying to go for is actually kind of fun. So it's my next project after I'm done with this current work in progress, is to work on those and to just kind of tighten them up and flesh them out and make it a little stronger, because I think those are so fun. They're very fantasy, and are really, really, I just like read the writing and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was pretty funny. Still am funny, but I was funny when I was little. but I'm really behind on querying my novel that I finished last year. You know, it's all done. It's just such a strenuous process, and it's so boring and hard, and it's like, and then you get those, you know, not even personalized emails back that say, hey, no thanks. I've gotten some that are personalized, and I even have gotten a few that are like, oh, hey, try this agent at this place. Like, that's really nice of these agents who get hundreds and hundreds of letters every day, you know, to take the time to respond. It's just, it can be so disheartening, and it's like so frustrating, because it's like, somebody sign me and try and help me get my book published. Come on, what's taking so long? But I also struggle with patience a lot. Not so much for people. I can be very patient with people, just like life. You know, I like see something I want, like having my book published, and it's like, okay, well, I want it right now. But of course, that's not how things work. Oh, sometimes it's such a struggle, but I'm working on it. I need to query some, though. I've really gotten my query letter, I think, to a point where it's solid, it's polished, and I feel like still kind of captures the voice of the story, but, you know, it's just so hard to tell. It's like, it's just so hard to tell, because you don't know what the agent is going to be like feeling when they open up that email. They could hate it, but I'm going to try not to get too Debbie Downer on all of you right before this podcast ends. That's so dumb. But you guys, I really appreciate you listening. I was looking at my analytics the other day, and it's cool to see where you all are. You know, if you guys want to be on the podcast, if you want to chat with me, I'm so open to it. Follow me on Twitter, connect with me on Instagram. Ask me questions you know have, or let me know what you guys want to hear about. I want this podcast to be really just, I'm going to try and have another author, another writer on every single time, because I feel like it's so awesome for us to be able to connect and just learn from each other. It's really cool. I've got some really great people lined up for you guys the next few podcasts, and I think it's going to be really exciting. But if you're published, unpublished, I don't even care. If you just think I'm funny and you want to chat, like, let me know. Let's hook it up. But yeah, so next week I'm going to be chatting with another author about NaNoWriMo. And thanks so much, you guys, for listening to my podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow me on Instagram. My handle is at Rose Quinney, Quinny. That's also my Twitter handle, so just go ahead and follow me, connect with me. Love to hear from you guys, and can't wait for you to hear the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to the Rose Quinn Podcast.